Okay, good evening. So what we're going to do tonight, before we actually start the text of Avinu Malkeinu, we're going to look at the terms Slicha, Mechila, and Kapara. We're also going to look at the terms Chet, Avon, Upesha. Okay? Now, I'm
Could I do one essay?
Well, actually, if you look on the sheet, you're going to see that Avinu Malkeinu are terms that we're very familiar with, because they are in the Shemoneh Esrei. That's part of what I'm going to be mentioning, so that's very good. It's excellent. But I thought, especially in light of the idea that...
We go around Apple.
They went to the wrong place.
No, she went to the exit door.
Yeah. So I thought, especially in light of the idea that we are going to be in the midst of Yamim Noraim, very quickly, I thought reviewing Chet, Avon, Pesha, and Slicha, Mechila, and Kapara would be a really good idea. So it really will complement what we're doing in Avinu Malkeinu. Okay? So let's first of all, some translations. Okay, and by the way, sadly, really, and I'm saying this from my heart, I'm not saying this in a pejorative way. I'm saying really, truly, sadly, most people don't know the difference between Slicha, Mechila, and Kapara. They don't know. Everybody sings Slach lanu, Mechal lanu, Kaper lanu. But if you ask most people, and I'm going to go out on a limb, you ask Israelis too, what's the substantive difference between these terms? They're not going to be able to answer you very well. You know, and you know how that goes. You know, you know, if you get that kind of answer, you know that people don't know what they're saying. So let's take a look. First of all, Slicha really means to forgive. Okay? So, for example, I think almost everybody, if not everybody, has been to Israel. And when somebody practices their Green Bay Packer maneuvers getting onto the Egged bus, so after they've severely injured you in the ribs, of course, you know, we they're all our people, so we love all of them. Okay, after you get zapped in the ribs, usually you hear Slicha. And usually you can't even respond because you're saying, oh, it's in the bar! Right? It's not a problem. Okay, so Slicha means forgive me. Okay, now Mechila is a very interesting word. Mechila means to pardon. So, for example, if a president has somebody who heretofore has been incarcerated, or a governor, he can issue a pardon. Okay? So it doesn't mean that the person didn't do something wrong, okay? So, but they served a certain amount of time, and now they're being pardoned. Another way that Mechila is used is the idea of to wave. Not the way we do it with our grandkids or our children, but W-A-I-V-E, in a sense of a waiver. Okay? So and we're going to go into it up above in where it says Slicha, Mechila, and Kapara more so. Kaper means atone. A-T-O-N-E. Now, the problem is Slach lanu, forgive us. That makes a lot of sense. Mechal lanu, waive the punishment, or and pardon us, that makes a lot of sense. How can Hashem kaper lanu? How can He atone for us?
We have to atone for Him.
Exactly. So that's one of the oddities, really, of language. We're not asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do atoning behavior for us. Well, what are we really asking Him? We're asking to accept our atonement. Right? That's the key. So again, let's very quickly, if this was a PowerPoint, the bullet points look like this. Slicha, forgive. Mechila, waive or pardon. And kapara, or kaper, is accept, really. You got to put in that word, accept. And if you can just, in a sense, really, what I'm going to do for myself, I know this sounds a little odd, but I'm going to write this down on Bli Neder on a 3x5 card. And I'm going to stick it right in my machzor. And when we come to the vidui, I'm going to look at it. Yeah, I'm going to look at it, because I don't want it to just be a nice, you know, sing-along with Mitch kind of experience. I want it to have real meaning. And when you're focused more on the sound and the spirituality of being caught up in the moment, you lose the substance. Okay? So that's first thing. Go ahead.
Do we do this when we say those three words?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do all through the Vidu.
Don't.
Yeah, I do. You know, it's part of Al Chait, so why not? Really, part of Al Chait. Okay?
Also here, mm-hmm. where it always says, you know, when you say this word, you know, when you say the word, but then at the
Kohanah?
No. Where is it? Oh, this is Aviv Malkanim, that's right.
Right.
At that last part, it says Al Chata'im. It doesn't say Al Chait.
Right.
Do that also?
Sure. Oh, I know what you're talking about. The very end?
The very end,
yeah. Yeah, because it's about all those different things.
Uh-huh.
So, now, but now this is an important point, too, just practically.
It just says all in an undertone. It doesn't say
I understand.
All in an undertone and back.
But you do. But you don't have to hurt yourself.
No, that I know.
Sometimes you'll see the teenage boys, okay, and they're going
to... They deserve to do it hard.
Yeah, and you'll actually hear, bam, 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 okay? So, obviously, you don't want to hurt yourself. When you're doing Al Chait, it shouldn't just be like a completely symbolic gesture, like you shouldn't go like this. But, just a slight tap so that you recognize that you're really doing something physical that's demonstrative of what you're feeling inside. And then, of course, it becomes what? A loop. Right? It's a loop. Because what you're feeling inside is going to then be more motivated more so by what you did physically. And the whole thing becomes a process. All right, with that in mind, let's take a look. We're going to go a little deeper now. What is Slicha? So this is Elohim Mechuvan, okay? A nice modern Israeli word that means oriented, okay? This is God-oriented, okay? I wasn't exactly sure, so I looked it up, and that's what it means. Right? That's how you say oriented. So this is God-oriented, meaning what? Ech Hashem ro'eh otanu, okay, how, when Hashem saw us, or sees us, ki chatanu lefanav ba'ofen prati. So basically what this is how Hashem views us when we've sinned before Him on a personal level, because what we need to focus on, and this point is made by Rabbi Ezra Bick, one of the Ramim from Gush Etzion, Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal's yeshiva. Okay? So Rav Ezra Bick points out that there's always two levels in a chait. There's what we would say, using philosophical terms, there's the chait in and of itself. So for example, Ploni ben Ploni ate non-kosher food. Okay? Now, and they did it, you know, with a desire to do so. Okay? Now, everyone would agree that it says, that, and we all know that nevela, okay, which we generally, given the Yiddish background of Ashkenazi Jews, most Ashkenazi Jews, right, we say it's treif. But, you know, there's differences, of course. But it's okay, fine. We ate something treif, purposely. So everybody here would immediately agree, yep, you did an aveira. Mm-hmm. You ate treif. Not you personally, but, you know, someone ate treif. So that's one level. That's only one level of the chet. What's the other level of the chet?
Not
the other
feeling
level,
sorry.
The what?
Not feeling sorry that you did it.
Well, that's even afterwards. The other level of the chet is, it's a personal affront to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea here of slicha, is that I not only recognize, this is just a dual aspect. I not only recognize that I did an avera, but now I recognize, OMG, my avera entails an affront to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's a very deep idea.
Never thought of it that way.
I know. Isn't that fascinating?
It is.
It really is. Because think of it this way. Think of it this way. There's a great intimacy, tremendous intimacy, that's supposed to obtain between you and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay? Just like there's an intimacy between a husband and wife. And when we hurt our spouse's feelings. So there's two things. There's, let's say we're talking about verbally, okay? There's what we said, which all by itself might really not have been the most pleasant thing, okay? Being overly polite, okay? The content of what we said may very well be unpleasant. But on the other hand, what are we, and I say we, no matter what side of the male-female continuum we find ourselves, what are we actually doing in our relationship to our spouses? Okay? Over and above whatever stupid thing we said and negative thing we said, we're being hurtful. Right? Same thing with Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu was Bachar Banu Mikol HaAmim. But it's not just a corporate Bechira, but each and every one of us is nivchar. So we're hurting, so to speak, our relationship in a very real way. That's what slicha is about. Okay? That forgive us, right? Slicha, forgive us for not only the chet that we did, but for violating the essence of our relationship with you. Number one. Next, mechila is also what we would call Elohim mechuvan. It's also God-oriented, okay? And again, the word mechila, it's a very interesting idea. Its roots come from torts, it comes from dine mamonot, it comes from business. So for example, Shimon borrows $750 from Levi. Levi has a shtar, okay, he has a contract. By the way, whatever you do, even if it's a family member, it's a good idea to have a contract. Just a little piece of paper, you both signed, we know that this is true. Okay? So Levi, I forget which one I said first, either Shimon from Levi.
Shimon borrowed.
Okay, Shimon borrowed from Levi. Okay, good. I got so involved with the idea. Okay, so then the next thing is that Shimon comes to Levi 6 months later. It's a 6 month thing. And he says to Levi, you know what? I thought I could pay back all $750. I can only pay back $650. I really feel bad. What can I do? So then Levi can either say, listen there, Habibi, you owe me $100. Or he can say, you know what? I know that you're going through trouble. I'm going to be mochel the other $100. You really acted in good faith. I know how hard it was for you to pay me the $650. I'm mochel the $100. That's mechila. So what happens with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So let's see what it says. When this is Hashem oriented. Ve'anachnu chayavim l'shalem lo. Okay, we have to pay HaKadosh Baruch Hu back for the chet. Whoa. What are we going to do? We're going to have our people call his people? And we're going to call up Warren Buffett, you know, to take care of this for us? No. How do you pay back a Kodesh Baruch Hu for a chet? Unfortunately, through onshin. Right? Because as we've talked about innumerable times, schar va'onesh. I do a mitzvah. It reverberates not only for me and my family now, but it reverberates throughout the generation. You never know when that zechut will somehow help maybe your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchild. You never know when it's going to happen. Okay, that's a mitzvah. But with an avera, okay, in quotation marks, using it in a negative sense, you got to pay to play, In other words, if you want to do something wrong, you got to recognize there's going to be an accounting. That's called onesh. So what do we do with mechila with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We recognize that anachnu chayavim l'shalem lo al yedei onshim. We recognize that, yep, we have to pay for what we've done wrong. Okay? Aval anachnu mevakshim imenu, but we ask from him, shehu mevater, we ask him to waive. We ask him to waive it, ala onshim. Just like, right, just like Levi could waive what Shimon owes him, right? It's an actual amount. So we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Machal anu, listen, if you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wanted to do this the way that we deserve, we're in trouble. We're asking, please waive our punishment.
Is it like wiping
the slate clean? We're not there yet.
Not there yet.
No, because here's what happens. So for example, if a person has a sentence commuted, right? Mm-hmm. So that doesn't mean they didn't do something wrong. Mm-hmm. They still, but it means that their payment period has been greatly lessened. Something we would...
grant parole.
It's exactly what it is. That's it's parole. Okay, it doesn't mean you didn't do anything wrong. But we're saying... listen, I know I did something wrong. I mean, I don't think, I mean, of course, you guys are all tzidkaniyot and all of that, but, you know, for almost other people, I would say, speaking Lashon Hara is, you know, ready, willing, and able. It flows off of almost everybody's tongue. So I don't think any of us could stand there on Rosh Hashanah and say, Kutchibrichu, I really don't know what I'm here for. You know, I had another perfect year, and I'm just cutting you a break by showing up. No, of course not. We know that we're in trouble, you know, and that's, we ask for a good judgment and you know, chayim and all the things that we ask for. Okay? So with mechila, we're not saying we're innocent. We're not saying tamim ani, you know, tamani. What are we saying? We're saying, you're right. If you want to put it to us, you want to turn the screws? We deserve it. We deserve it. But we're saying, please, be mevater, waive the punishment. Now, kapara. Okay, what's kapara? Kapara, by the way, is wiping the slate clean. That's what kapara is.
So why don't we just ask for kapara?
Well, let me
work up to it.
Let me ask you something.
Why I can't get it? So you gotta eat your vegetables before you get the cake.
Yeah, and I understand. Like you're a bottom line kind of person, like you know, and like you know, almost like an accountant here. Hey, we don't need this other stuff. We're just gonna go right to kapara.
Why do A, B, and C just to get to Z?
Right, but the thing is,
you gotta feel the
thing is, it's a process. Okay, it's just, I mean, this again, using the relationship kind of thing. Okay, no matter how wowed out you were, or we are about our spouse on that first really good date that we had with them before we got married, right? Like when we're going out, we're courting, well, the guy's courting the woman usually. Okay, so
when you just get married, on
right? So everyone in this room would admit that if your husband would have said to you on date one, hey, you know, this is really great, let's get married, right? You would look at him like, okay, and you know, are you from My Favorite Martian? I mean, what's wrong with you, right? That's how you would feel. So you got to go through slicha, you got to go through mechila, and like it's sort of like, you know, Hashem, you granted me slicha. I'm such a lucky person. It's amazing. And maybe even mechila. So last but not least, let's really go for the full Monty. And let's get rid of everything we did. So let's have kapara. So we start with a tabla rasa for the next year. Okay? And like I always tell you, you know, I usually last about 2 to 3 weeks where I'm just like feeling this big up from, you know, Yom Kippur, and then eventually, and then I feel so bad. But okay, whatever, you know, that's how
it
is.
You're honest with yourself.
I am, and I know that, you know, okay.
That's why we're people.
That's right. So what I do, I have a personal minig. I don't know anybody else who does this. This is my own personal minig. But every single day I share, I say, Shiram halot mimumakim karaticha Hashem. And I have my own little piece that I say before it. And in a sense, I try to do tshuva every single day. Okay, because I know I have what to do tshuva for, like everybody else. But I really try to put it into a words. Okay, and I think about what I'm saying when I say it and so forth. So, but you know, everyone's different. I mean, that's a nice thing. Can't hurt. Certainly what to do. Go ahead.
Shouldn't we, let's say, like, start off on the high level? Like, say, please wipe the slate clean. Tapralan.
Yeah.
If you can't do that, then machalanu. And if you can't do that, then
let's make a deal.
Well, you know, this is a...
Isn't that like, a lot of times that we go from, you know, instead of going...
Yeah, but remember, we're like, we're Ovdei Hashem. We're Hashem's servants. And, you know, servants generally don't start out with, and by the way, that filet mignon, that looks pretty good. You don't mind if I take it from your plate, do you? You know, you don't want to go there. You go step by step by step. Okay. Now, what is kapara? Ready? So, notice the first two were God-oriented. Okay? The third, kapara, is Adam Kufan. This is man-oriented. So anachnu mevakshim me'et Hashem shehu yitaher otanu. Okay? That he will, this first time we're using this word, he will purify us mikol chatotenu, from all of our sins. So before, we weren't asking for that. We weren't asking for that. Okay? This is, I don't know, it's like using spiritual zout on your sins. Okay, just like you're trying to clean your shirts or something. This is, kapara is ultimately, you're completely removing any stain, anything that's besmirched. I know, but with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything and anything we've done wrong, guess what? It can be removed. So that's what kapara is. We're asking him to be metahero otanu, right? Okay, so like the famous Rabbi Akiva, which I've shared with you before, Ashrecham Yisrael, right? Or maybe it's either Ashrecham or Ashrecha, I can't remember. It's either Ashrecham or Ashrecha Yisrael, if name mi atem mitaharim. So it's probably Ashrecham. So before whom are you purified? It's the last Mishnah in Yoma, right? So it's Nea, Lifne, you know, Shabashumayim. Okay? And that directly comes from this Pasuk. So from Vayikra, Parshat Acharei Mot, Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Lamed. Could look at the wording and see why kapara is associated with tahara. Ki bayom, by the way, this is one of Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal's favorite psukim. Ki bayom azeh yechaper aleichem. On this day, you will have atonement. And what's the razan detra for atonement? It's right here in the pasuk, l'taher etchem, to purify you mikol chatotechem, from all of your sins. Okay, livnei Hashem, before Hashem, titaru. So obviously the big question is
yourselves before Hashem purifies you.
Right, before Hashem, you will be purified. Okay, so obviously, okay, you could have written the pasuk like this. And it's very good if you look deeply inside, because then you'll see how the words fit together. Ki biyom hazeh yichaper aleichem, on this day you will achieve atonement, l'taher etchem, to purify you, mikol chatoteichem, titaru. Yeah? Could have said that. From all of your sins you will be purified. No, lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem. What's going on? So the idea here, and this is all crucially part of Avinu Malkeinu, is a recognition that we really, even though when we do a chet, we distance ourselves from Kodesh Baruch Hu, but with effort, we can reestablish that intimacy, and we can once again be Lifnei Hashem. And in truth, it's arguable that we're always Lifnei Hashem. But when we are involved with chet, what happens is we put up veils mm-hmm. that separate us. Now, just like a veil is something you can easily move away, right? So too, what we're being told here is sin and its result, if we really exercise every ounce of our being to have slicha and mechila, then we're going to achieve kapara. And we will once again be fully lifnei Hashem. In a sense, it's really establishing, in quotation marks, a hugging relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where you feel and you get that sense that you're in His palm, right? He's got the whole world in His hands. I mean, it's not a bad statement. It really is a very good statement of the intimacy that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Any questions so far on what we've done? Are we good on that? Not too fast? It's okay? All right. Now, I wanted to show you, before we went further, that the idea of Avinu and Malkeinu, really, for those of you who've been with us since, I think we started this year in 2012, terms that we've done before. Okay? You have these two brachot in the Shemoneh Esrei, where Avinu and Malkeinu come up. And these brachot deal with what? Teshuvah, okay, and mechila, and slicha, and so forth. So let's take a quick look at those. I'm not going to address the brachot the way that I did when we were doing it in incredible depth, but I just want to share this with you so we can see where Avinu Malkeinu comes up. So it says, Hashiveinu Avinu l'toratecha. So cause us to come near our Father to your Torah. Okay, because as you remember when I taught this, Hashiveinu is the he feel. Cause us. Okay? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to, in a sense, join us in our quest for re-establishing our relationship with this Torah. V'karaveinu Malkeinu, and bring us near our King. So right now we have what? Avinu and Malkeinu. Okay, la'avod atecha, to your service, to your worship. Okay, with what end goal? Achzireinu b'teshuvah shlema lefanecha, and bring us back. Again, it's hefil, right? Causative, bring us back in complete teshuvah before you. Now, before you, doesn't that sort of knock you in the head? Lifnei Hashem. From the pasuk we just did before, because that you could have left that out. Hachzireinu b'teshuvah shlema. Why does it say lefanecha? Because again, what's our goal, right? To be lifnei Hashem, as in shaviti Hashem lenegdi tamid. Hashem is always before me. Okay, and then of course the bracha of baruchat Hashem arotzeh b'teshuvah. Now, directly bearing on Avinu Malkeinu is the next bracha itself as well. Salach lanu. So now you guys, we're all experts on what slicha is. Okay? And if you notice, and this is really another answer to Naomi, what comes first here? Slicha, then mechila. Because it's a process. It's a process. So salach lanu avinu ki chatanu. Forgive us Hashem, for we have sinned. Okay? What does this word chatanu mean? We have sinned. What's the nature? Anyone want to hazard? What's the nature of a chet? What is the nature of a chet? Because it's different than an avon and it's different than a pesha. What's a chet?
It's a sin.
Say what?
A sin.
It's a sin, but what kind of sin? Because it has to be defined. What?
Intentional?
No.
Accidental?
It is, it could be, well, yeah. You guys are right. You guys playing off very well against each other here. It could very well be even inadvertent. Okay? So it's, you did something wrong, okay, but it wasn't on purpose. I'll give you an example. You go shopping at a kosher supermarket. and it's under the VOD of someplace, okay? Because I don't want to be multi-wise against any VOD, okay? And you bring it home, and you make a delicious meal for your family, and you happen to notice afterwards that it's from the same company that you used to sing, but guess what?
No Heckscher.
There's no Heckscher.
I had that the other day. Mm-hmm. And I called up the store and they checked it out.
I called up the money.
Yeah. Yep.
And they pulled it off the shelf. So
because
they didn't realize it was. It's the brand they always use, but it was made in a different plant.
Yeah, and so it doesn't have a Heckscher.
I once went back to the store and they said, "Well, you opened it, so we can't refund your money." I go, "That's not why I'm here, there."
Right.
I got really angry. I thought that that's what he was thinking, why I was there.
Right, because talk about the importance of bottom line, that's ridiculous. But here was saying, you know, like, so a person actually is old, like, let's say, for example, you bought a spaghetti sauce. And this spaghetti sauce, okay, you didn't know had meat in it or something like that, okay? And, you know, and of course, for every kazayit that you would eat of this, okay, it's another Avera. But did you do it on purpose?
No.
Obviously not.
You made it in your mouth like a pot.
So that's called a chet. Okay, but did you, did plenty do an Avera?
Yes.
Well, to quote Sarah Palin, okay, you betcha. Okay, yep, you did. You didn't do it on purpose. Now, by the way, I should stress something to you. This is very, very different than, for example, it's 3 o'clock in the morning on Shabbat, okay? And I don't know what you guys do with your particular bathroom light or whatever, but you get up and nature calls, and you either, on your way back, you know, like, you know, you're an extra from Night of the Living Dead because it's Friday night, and it was a 4:10 Shabbat, and you did everything except, you know, give blood before making your food on time, lighting, and sitting there and going, okay, because it's really hard, and you guys are all like, you know, you're the women who redeemed us, okay, from Egypt, okay, with, you know, only second to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? You guys are amazing when you do things like that. But it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you get up, nature called, and, you know, you, as you're going back to bed, you know, You turned it off. Okay, that's not even considered to be a chet at all.
Really?
No, because it was lacking the category of being a melechet machshevet. You didn't even know what you were doing. You were completely, totally on automatic pilot. So that's not called a chet.
I don't have the light switch.
Okay.
Before Shabbos.
Right.
Someone shuts it.
But I think you can all see the difference between that. And, you know, eating, you know, your spaghetti with gusto, right? Very big difference. Okay, so that's a chet. Now, avon is a very different matter. Avon, my favorite example of an avon, and we'll call this a purposeful sin. It's avera im ratzon. My very favorite one is, you got someone who their entire life, you know, okay? They really weren't. They're not bad people. They're not, you know, tzaddikim. They're everyday people, right? And, you know, they've seen their 10,000th commercial for the Big Mac. The Big Mac from McDonald's, okay? And they say, you know, one day they're really hungry and they're walking by and, you know, they take off their kippah, they walk in, and they have a few bites of the Big Mac. Now, this is not a chet. This is an avon. They did it on purpose. But...
and to get benefit.
Right. But when they did it what's called b'ta'avon. Te'avon. They did it te'avon, which means what? They did it for the purpose of the enjoyment of what they were doing, but they did not do that for what? The purpose of saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who needs you? So they're not They know that what they're doing. And avon is, you know what you're doing is wrong, you do it anyway because that's what you want to do.
Like, you know, speaking
Lashon Hara,
and you go, but Hashem knows anyway.
Right, or the famous Shabbos, you know, Nishkoach. Okay, and everybody thinks, that's a Hetzer Gamor. Or how about, Likvod HaRav. And then you excoriate the guy. Okay, so these are not what we're talking, you know, but so, when a person does an Avon, they know it's wrong. They're doing it anyway, because they're doing Batei Avon. They're doing it Mishum Ta'ava. But they're not doing it because they sit there and they say, the relationship that I have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is secondary, it's not important, I don't care. But unfortunately, there is the idea of a pesha. A pesha is rebellion. It's rebellion. Okay? I always use the example of, it sounds almost crazy to us, but there were certain kibbutzim shortly after the founding of the state, and they would actually make it their business. You know, they were socialists. They would bring a ham sandwich to the kotel on Yom Kippur. Okay, as crazy as that sounds to us. Say what? Yeah, I mean, but what it really is, I mean, that's a pesha. That's rebellion against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. They're, in quotation marks, spitting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eye. And they're saying, they're not just, believe me, I don't think that they particularly wanted the ham sandwich. But what are they doing? They're doing this to show, I'm cutting myself off from you. That's what that is. Okay?
How many people that say Shimon Esrei would really do something like that, though?
Probably not that many people, but you
there
know.
There are people who kind of like lapse and then come back.
That's right. But what actually happens, right, in the famous, you know, Yud Gimel Midot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, no say Avon B'Fesha V'Chata'ah, right? That's after the Egel HaZahav. So how could, we can. How could we do it? We did it. Even good people, right? Even, you know, the Dor HaMidbar, which my chavrusas were always, you know, telling, I always tell you this, my chavrusas are always looking for, well, you know, yes, they were great people, but think they still had, you know, they just got rid of slavery, blah, blah, blah. David, don't be so hard on them, they say to me. They're always melamedes, okay? But me, I'm still left with Fez and Mir. I don't understand. You have Yetziat Mitzrayim, you have Kriyat Yam Suf, Har Sinai, okay?
After that,
etc. You know, that's pretty big. And then like, hey, anybody want to build an Egel HaZahav? Yeah, me, I'm in there. I have trouble with that. Okay, I mean, it's a serious discussion.
You were brought up as a slave with that mentality.
That's exactly what my chavrusas say to me. David, you're being so hard, you have to be more sensitive, you have to be gentle, etc. You have to be more understanding. Okay, fine. So anyway, so now we know what a chet, avon, and pesha is. So again, your PowerPoint takeaway. Chet may very well be an inadvertent sin. Avon, it's an avera that you do purposely, but for the purpose of hana. Of you want to have a desired outcome, but you're not saying you're not saying you and me, God, you know, forget it. You're saying, this is what I want to do. I'm just overcome with desire. Okay? And then last but not least is a pesha where unfortunately it's a mazid. Okay? Alright. With that in mind, let's just go ahead, yeah.
What would it be if someone causes you to do one of these?
We still have free will.
For example, I'll give you a perfect example.
You got to give me an example because okay. I can't tell you whether it's a. I can't tell you if it's a chet and avon or a pesha until you tell me what happened.
Okay, I was walking to shul one day Pesach. I see a man, a long beard, driving a car, eating matzah, and I'm thinking to myself, "What kind of shtus is this?"
Is it the second day?
After I thought that,
I realized, oh, it's the second day, maybe he's Israeli.
But my
first thing was like calling him a terrible person for what he's doing.
Right.
Like, okay, you want to drive a car to shul? Fine, but you have to do it eating matzah.
Okay, well...
Isn't there marasayim? You're not supposed to eat bread.
Right, you're not supposed to... But you're right. I wouldn't say you did anything particularly wrong, but you can learn from it, in a sense. Be careful, you know, in terms of your judgments, because, again, it goes back to what my own chavrusas have said to me, don't be so harsh.
It could
okay.
be. Going to
say we're harsh judging people.
Correct. That's right. I'm sorry, what were you saying? What was your...
Well, you wouldn't be sitting there eating challah or lighting candles.
Maybe he was just on the way to the hospital.
Whatever. You never know. Anyway, guys, with that big introduction, which I think should be helpful for us all, let's start with the first one. So those of you who have a sefer in front of you or a digital copy or whatever... We're at Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha. Okay, so again, Avinu is our father, Malkeinu our king. Okay, so why do we call on HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Avinu? Because we're calling in the cards, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
We're saying
our relationship.
Okay, now Malkeinu, this is very interesting. You guys have heard this many times from me already. What do we do essentially on Rosh Hashanah? What do we do on Rosh Hashanah?
We're begging for forgiveness.
It's true. Well, but the key is every Rosh Hashanah, right? It's the coronatia of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single year, we're recrowning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a very good friend of mine, Rabbi A.B. Reichman from Efrat, just pointed out to me, I think even last week it was, pointed out that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his kingship, we're not really talking about authority, authority, but he had a very brilliant play on words. We're talking about authority, authority. Wow. That we have he has authority. But why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have authority? Because every single year, we're recrowning him. Very interesting, right? So, Avinu, we're saying it's the family. Hey, this is a family. You know, you don't get rid of members of your family. Avinu. Malkeinu. It's kind of like, I'd like to kind of remind you exactly how you're king and why you're king. And listen, as the famous statement goes, and we always say this about our own children, they didn't ask to be born. Okay? Okay? And by the way, who chose who? Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim.
He chose to take them home.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us. Right? Okay. That's a very good point too. By saying Avinu Malkeinu, Arlene is suggesting we're showing obeisance, reverence. Okay, we're coming to before him in an organized process, step by step. Okay, and we're sort of, you know, moving forward. So we start with Chatanu Lefanecha. You know, it's very, very possible, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've done some things inadvertently, and we did some things that, you know, we're not proud of. You know, I heard this great piece of rechilut, and instead of sitting there saying to myself, it's rechilut or it's lashon hara, okay? And even though if you woke me up at 3 in the morning, I could tell you that both lashon hara and rechilut are true, okay? That's the intellect speaking. It doesn't mean that somewhere lurking in the deep recesses of the other part of my mind, where the emotion is, doesn't mean that on occasion I might want to say, what will be my own heter that I'll be matir? Oh, but it's true. And I sit there and I go, okay, wake up. So, chatanu lefanecha. Okay, next. This is interesting. We're really in this one, the next one. Avinu Malkeinu ein lanu melech elata. We're throwing ourselves truly and honestly at the mercy of the court. Our father, our king, there is no king other than you. We're saying what? That you're it. We recognize your authority and your authority with a U. We recognize that. As such, we're beseeching you. We're beseeching you. Okay? Next. Avinu Malkeinu Asei Imanu Laman Shemecha. Now, all right, our Father, our King, do for us, okay, on account of your name. Okay? Now, I gave this a lot of thought, because a very strange statement to say. And unfortunately, I think you and I all have the same problem. When you're doing all the Avinu Malkeinus until the public ones that we say together, okay, you're usually going, Avinu Malkeinu, just to catch up. Okay? But unfortunately, you lose so much by doing that. So
is this a reminder not to do that?
Oh, yeah.
Is it better to start earlier so that you don't have to catch up by the public part, like with everybody? Or is it better to just say it at your own pace,
right,
and whatever happens?
What's interesting, I don't know if he would want me to mention his name. But I will say this. I know of someone in our shul, and this is l'shevach. This is praise. Okay? But he would get embarrassed because he's that kind of guy. comes to shul at least 10 minutes early on Shabbat, every single Shabbat. And he starts doing Psukei D'Zimra before anybody else is saying Psukei D'Zimra. Because he wants it to be a meaningful experience. Okay? I myself... especially like if I go to the Young Israel, you'd think the Young Israel was populated by Yekkes. Okay, we're going to have Minyan at 9 o'clock, not 8:59.30 and not 9:01. Okay, and we all go by, right, the Verizon time. Okay, that's the universal thing, right? So I know that if they start Ashrei and I start Ashrei, doesn't matter. I cannot keep up. So I always make sure to get to Young Israel, or our shul for that matter too, a few minutes early, and I'll say Ashrei so that I can focus on what, you know, I'm saying. So that's a good idea, in short.
So you're saying it's okay to do it ahead of time?
Sure. Sure.
Well, I do a lot of times Shachris at home.
Yeah, it's perfectly okay.
I can never catch up on Sarah.
So what does this mean? Because Laman Shemecha, okay, is a hard expression. On account, so in other words, do for us because of or as a result of your name. What in the world does that mean? So there's two ways. As you know, because we've been learning together Baruch Hashem for a long time, Shemecha always refers to the Hashem's essence. Do we obviously understand Hashem's essence? No. So how do we know Hashem? Through his actions. Okay? And so, for example, when we say, and I made reference to this particular pasuk before, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun, erech apayim v'rav chesed v'emet, right? So when we talk about that, what is it really mean according to the Rambam? It's talking about Hashem's actions. Not because we can't say he is kel Rachum v'chanun, but rather he acts towards us, all right, in a way that we would say Kiel Rachum v'chanun, etc. So Bli Neder next week, we're going to continue with Avinu Malkeinu, all right, with Chadesh Aleinu Shana Tova, right? Because that's going to be the section that we'll be up to. Okay, so thank you all very much for coming.